Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? It's I, Van Lathan.
And it's me, Rachel Lindsay.
Rachel is down in the dumps today, guys. Rach is, we have sad Rach today.
I'm not sad.
What's wrong, Rach? Talk to me.
No, I'm not sad. I'm just annoyed, right? Like, I'm just frustrated. Every day I wake up and I say, okay, it's a new day. We're going to move on. And then something else happens.
Something else happens like what? Like talking about in the realm of Batch Nation? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Or just period? Or is no, Rach just done?
Just Bachelor Nation.
You're over it now.
Been over it. But I'm really over it now.
So you started a fire and the blaze has burned too high for Rach.
Stop.
What's going on? But you really do look like you're drained.
I am. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm like, I think it's exhausting because it's so illogical. Like the way that people think, the way people are in my comments, the way people DM, it's, if I'm sad about anything, it's just the way that people think. I swear we are just being torn farther and farther apart. And over the freaking Bachelor, who the hell cares who's hosting the damn show? You know what I mean? Like you're still like, we sit on this podcast. We talk about the issues that were brought up in that interview. We talk about, you know, like how I was feeling, the bigger picture, how that topic transcends the Bachelor and goes into bigger issues. Yet people are accusing us of like cancel and saying firing and labeling. And it's bigger than that. All because of a show, of a TV show. And I guess it's just frustrating because people are so upset over The Bachelor. It's The Bachelor. What's your favorite TV show? You gonna be mad if they change out? What's your favorite TV show, right? Oh, Snowfall.
Snowfall.
Oh, hello. I don't even know why I asked.
Snowfall. Yeah, would I be mad if they just like changed Franklin and brought in some white dude to be the host, to be the main
Franklin
guy in
white?
Snowfall? No, he's black.
Oh.
Rachel, you gotta stop asking these questions about Snowfall.
I don't watch the show.
It's getting disrespectful now. Franklin is played by Damson Idris. So if they just changed him out, because of cancel culture, sure, I would be mad. Cancel culture.
I can't laugh. I can't even laugh at the sarcasm. I can't because what you're saying and you're joking is legit.
Your life.
Legit.
How many DMs would you say that you've gotten? How much would you say that you're getting harassed? Are you getting harassed by Bachelor Nation? Would you say that?
I mean, but here's the thing. I'm so used to, I constantly speak out, right?
Right.
I am not popular in Bachelor Nation. So it's nothing for me to get hate, to get, you know, people saying the most nastiest things for me. I think what's different is this time I'm a racist. You know, I think that's like the most interesting criticism that I get is that I'm a racist. People calling my job, emailing my job for me to get fired from Extra. That's different. That's a little different. You know, every outlet covering it, that's a little different. Especially when you're being accused of basically doing your job.
Right.
Right? As an interviewer, as a correspondent, my job is to ask a question. You answer the question. How's that my fault?
Right.
You know what I mean? And this is one time, like, I almost wish that I would have said what I was feeling in that moment if this is the backlash I was going to get. Because I sat there. I didn't react. You know, I asked a question when necessary. I tried to be like, well, maybe this is bad. Maybe this isn't, you know, like, are you sure this is what you mean? You know, like, it's not a good look ever. Or, you know, how would you feel if how would it be if I was at this party? You know, I tried. Whatever. It went. It happened. It needed to be seen. But the fact that I was, you know, like professional, you would think that that would go far. And somehow it's become my fault at the events that are transpiring now with Chris Harrison. Somehow it's my fault. It's frustrating. Yeah.
Do you wish that he would have never said what he said?
No, if that's what he felt, then say it.
Right.
No.
Say it. I feel the exact opposite way about Bachelor Nation. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I want to shout out all of my Bachelor Nations. We did Bachelor Nation people. We did the Reddit Ask Me Anything.
Oh yeah.
On Monday. And shout out to all of the batchies who hit me up and let me know that people can see your Reddit history and your Reddit comments that you've left. Everyone that hit me up and let me know to go in, if people were going to be, and delete my old Reddit history.
What did you do?
And delete my old Reddit comments. Clutch. Shout out to you guys. A lot of people use Reddit for a lot of things. I, like other things in my life, use Reddit for...
That was my first time using, like, having a Reddit account.
Different, you know, there's all kinds of communities on Reddit. And I've been, some of the same communities I pay money for. And by the way, I haven't done it in a while. They were really old comments because, you know, I've been porn-free for a while. But people were like, hey, man, just to let you know. You should probably delete some of the old comments. You know, we know that you're not ashamed of it. But at the same time, you should probably get rid of them.
Did you delete them?
Yeah, hell yeah.
That's so funny. I wish you guys would have let me know what to look at it before he deleted it.
Right now, but it's too late. It's too late because you're too busy stomping around being mad, your mad ass, about what's going on with Chris Harrison. It's interesting. So I guess you don't want to talk about what Ben Shapiro said. I guess you don't want to have that conversation.
You want to talk about it? Go ahead.
No, it's too late. No, it's too late. I'm not used to seeing, first of all, it's so crazy because with the Adidas cap on, it looks like you look like Run DMC Rage right now with the Adidas, you know? But it seems like it takes all of the fun about it. It seems like you're not, the sassiness is gone today.
No, listen, I'm always sassy, but I'm more so, it's not a sadness. I'm drained. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm exhausted from it. And every day I'm like, okay, new day, new attitude, new energy. And then it's like, yo, Rachel, Ben Shapiro.
That was funny. Ben Shapiro got at you. You know what? Fine. We're not going to.
No. I'm going to tell you why. Because I think it's crazy the way he tried to come at me. First of all, I had never heard Ben Shapiro. I know who he is, obviously. Right. But I had never listened to his podcast. Shapiro,
not to cut Rachel off.
No,
Ben Shapiro addressed Rachel on his podcast. I think this was Wednesday. It was Wednesday. And he said some things. Actually, let's listen to what Ben Shapiro said right now.
So Rachel Lindsay, right, who you saw and heard in that clip with Don Lemon talking about the awful, evil Chris Harrison who committed the great sin of saying that people deserve grace and they shouldn't be wrecked on social media. Let me just say, if a white person did what Rachel Lindsay did on her Instagram just a few months ago, that person would have been destroyed. Like, their career would be over. Because here's what Rachel Lindsay did a few months ago. Okay, in the middle of the Black Lives Matter protest, she tweeted out a picture of herself in front of, I kid you not, a Cadillac XT6. And here's what she wrote. Quote, "We are living in unprecedented times right now. I know we cannot escape our reality, but we do what is necessary to take care of ourselves physically and mentally. For me, I like to clear my head by going for a drive in my Cadillac XT6. With its Bluetooth connectivity, I can easily connect to my phone to stream almost anything and everything with crystal clear audio on the standard Bose speaker system. I can take this time to listen and learn from podcasts that support and uplift Black voices. It is so important that we take the time to understand what and why things are happening in our country. What are some of your favorite podcasts that discuss these issues? Share your recommendations in the comments and tell me how you're doing your part to share some good these days. Hashtag ad, hashtag Cadillac community, hashtag Cadillac escapes, hashtag be the good." So there's some privilege happening right here. It ain't Chris Harrison.
Privilege. Wow. Privilege. He hit you with the privilege.
It's like you want so badly, because this is what these people are doing. These people who are against what's happening right now in Bachelor Nation is, let's dig up something on Rachel. Let's find something. This is the best you could do. This is the best you got, Benny. This is all y'all can do is find an ad. Let me tell you something about this ad.
Do you remember we talked about the ad on the podcast?
Yes. One of my many jobs is being an influencer. One of them is being an influencer. One of them are sponsorships.
Is that a job, though?
If you saw how much money you make off of it, absolutely. Because it takes time. Because listen, it depends on what level that you influence, right?
Right.
Some people do make full out videos. You hire a videographer, a photographer, makeup, lighting. So like it's a commercial on your social media, whether it's a picture, whether it's a video, whether it's a boomerang, you take time. They buy into your likeness and image for you to promote their product. That's a job. When people do commercials on television, do we take that away from them? No, it's the same thing on social media and people make very good money off of it. So one of my many jobs is, influencing on social media. I have a partnership with Cadillac. I remember when it was like, you got to post something. And I said, I don't want to post something with Cadillac. And I actually posted more than just that. That just seems to be the one that they focus on. But I said, I wasn't going to do it unless I got to talk about something that had to do with Black people. So I promoted podcasts in that one. And if you scroll through the pictures, I promoted Higher Learning, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, name your podcast. Fine. People don't like the way I worded the caption. Get it. Take all the criticism. But to call me privileged from that, for doing that, I did another ad with Cadillac as well, where I highlighted Black-owned businesses in the city of Miami. I was living in Miami at the time. So I showed myself driving my Cadillac, picking up food, promoting businesses. Then coinciding with that, I did a full blog on all Black-owned businesses in the city of Miami. So you can take that and run with that however you do. But the fact that you're trying to compare what I did in that moment to what Chris Harrison did, or to say that I am no longer allowed to talk about what Chris Harrison did or anything that has to do with Black Lives Matter or racial injustice or social injustice because I make money off of doing sponsorships is absolutely ludicrous. It is so dumb. Also, that we're talking about this 9 days after the interview. I don't know why Benny Shapiro is jumping so late on the train. I did that interview fucking happened a week and some change ago. Why are we still talking about this? I'm so frustrated by it. And I think what I'm also bothered too is if you listen to the entire clip, which is like the last 10 minutes of his podcast, you can tell that somebody brought this information to him rather than him just really researching the facts and doing it himself. You want to take one part of what I said about Chris Harrison on this podcast and then use it to go toward whatever agenda it is that you're trying to put out to your slanted audience. You want to take that. You want to ignore the content and the context of what Chris Harrison did and blame it on cancel culture. Or say that I'm not allowed to talk about it because I have my own privilege. You don't get to do that. You can't defend someone's racist actions, tendencies, and affiliations and then say that I'm not allowed to talk about those things. Like it just blows my mind. And this is what plays into the frustration of the way that I'm feeling right now. I didn't say anything. I asked a question, which is literally one of the job requirements of my job as a correspondent at Extra. But somehow I'm at fault. And when I said Chris's white privilege was showing and it was overwhelming, I think that's what I said, something like that on this podcast, which is why now he's trying to say, I can't talk about it because I have my own privilege. Chris Harrison has privilege. We don't have to define white privilege, but we obviously know one of those definitions is you can do or say whatever it is that you want to say and you get away with it, or you're given a pass, or you're given grace or compassion or whatever word you want to use because of the color of your skin. Take a stroll in my comments right now, or if my DMs, people are saying, how dare you? You're a racist. You're a bully. You're aggressive. You're a loudmouth. You're angry. That's what I'm given because I asked a question and this man went on a 12-minute rant talking and defending the things that Rachel did. But they say, what do they say about Chris? After all the things he said, he's a good man. He has a good heart. He gave you everything. How could you? That is the definition of privilege. That's him showing his privilege. So I feel like the next time Ben Shapiro wants to come at me, Benny, excuse me, I'm calling him Benny now that I heard the podcast. Yes. Yeah, the next time you want to come at me because of something you think I said, you need to come to me with facts. You need to do your research. You need to listen a little bit better and not just assume certain things based on what your producer has given to you, Savvy or whatever you called her. Because next time you come at me or you want to stick it to someone, as he said in this podcast, don't stick it to me. Don't do that to me. You can next time come at me correct, please, if you're going to come at me with facts.
That ad was funny as hell, though.
What? That's what I said. We talked about it. If you want to talk about it. If you want to talk about my caption, it's fine.
This is what they should have done for Cadillac. They should have like drove by the protests and had you looking out with your hand on the mirror, the thing, like, I'm safe here in the Cadillac. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't.
That would have been funny.
Like he's you driving by the protest and you got your hand on the window.
That would have been bad.
And people are like, I feel safe away from the chaos of the world and the Cadillac and stuff like that. It's funny. Look, man, Rach, I know people are gonna have opinions. People have opinions about things. You know, like people have opinions. You're not wrong. I remember the comment section of TMZ. One of the biggest battles I had at TMZ, I might have talked about this on the podcast before, is like people started like getting at me on Twitter, right? They get at me on Twitter, and I would go back and I would say, suck my dick. Or I would say, hey, go fuck yourself. Or I would say, whatever. I would say all those things. And I remember Harvey brought me into the room one time. Harvey goes, hey, well, you can't talk to me.
Wait, you were in the comments? You were commenting back?
No, I wasn't in the comments. This was on Twitter.
Gotcha.
And like, and I remember Harvey pulls me to a room one time, and Harvey goes, yo, you can't speak like that. It's like, you can't do that. Like, we're trying to sell TV shows on you and we want to do this. Well, then I was like, I don't want to do a TV show with you. Another show, number one. I was like, number two, you guys don't police what they say. Like, they come into the comment section. They call my mother a nigger whore. They come into they do all this. And you guys don't delete the comments. You guys don't you don't police the comment section under the articles. You don't, whenever people see my name, you don't have anything. You guys never have my back. So I couldn't care less about what it is that you see. And so for me, and it's all hard. It's definitely, definitely hard. And I'm very sorry that it's taken a toll on you. But think about the people that you've inspired and uplifted and empowered as well, Rachel. It's a lot of people that feel like you're their warrior.
I'm not going to stop. This isn't the first time I've received hate. I'm just like, don't come at me and act like I can't speak on Black issues. That's what I think irks me about the Benny Show, is that you want to make it seem like I can't talk about being Black because I have something that's nice, or because I'm partnered with a nice brand, or I make money off of something that's nice. Because the deeper issue is that I used it to promote something that amplified Black people, rather than just saying, hey guys, I'm in my Cadillac and I'm driving around Miami in this beautiful city, as if I'm ignoring everything that's happening in the world right now. Like, I get it. If you don't like the way I phrase it, I can take all that. But don't try to take away from me my ability to speak on what's happening to people who look like me and to speak out on behalf of the community. That's what irked me the most about what he did. You don't even know me. You took the time to tweet. You took the time to tweet about me. About The Bachelor. Like, that's what's...
Who? Ben Shapiro? I didn't see the tweet.
Yes, Jackson and Trudy put it in the rundown. He took the time to tweet about me. So you're 3.3 million followers. That's how upset you are about
Ben! Let's see what Ben got going on.
Because here's the thing. I was like, why are people writing on this ad? You know what I mean? And unlike other folks, I don't take down stuff just because people are criticizing me of it. Right? Like, I'm proud that I was able to bring what I felt like was some awareness and highlight Black podcasts and Black-owned businesses. I'm not going to take that down.
I see somebody in the comments that says, can someone please explain why Antebellum is racist? We've been through this. Let's do the Germany Nazi era party. Let's go to a party. We're going to all dress up like different characters from the Germany Nazi era. Like, somebody's going to dress up like Goebbels and somebody's going to be Hitler. Like, you know, like somebody, let's just do it. There's no ideology behind it. Let's just dress as people from that time.
And do it in a concentration camp.
And yeah, let's set in a concentration camp. But not even at the concentration. Let's set it in Let's have a Hitler's bunker party. Let's do that. Let's have a party. Hitler's bunker theme party. And see if anyone tries to defend that. All right, because the time is also representative of the cultural norms of that time.
Right.
And if anything, the cultural norms of the antebellum period of America should be something that we all want to get away from. Usury. I expect more from you, Ben Shapiro. I don't know why, but I do. I don't know. I just
can't believe he's getting involved with something like this.
You're disappointed in Ben?
It's just like, I just felt like you don't even really know what you're talking about. Your producer brought it to the table. You thought this was interesting. Let's get at Rachel. Let me send my people after her.
Yeah.
All it does is embolden me.
Okay. So yesterday, Rush Limbaugh, conservative talk show guy. I think he was making, he's like a giant in that world.
Huge.
I think he was making $80 or $100 million a year.
$85 million a year.
Rush Limbaugh, I've known of since I was about in the sixth grade. There was a guy in my sixth grade class. His name was John Greco. And him and I were friends. John Greco was very, very conservative, sixth or seventh grade. And he used to watch Rush Limbaugh. And
in sixth grade?
Sixth or seventh grade. Well,
where's this guy right now?
I don't know where John is, but I have to tell you.
I can take a couple of guesses.
Remember, I went to a magnet school. So
yeah, I can take a couple of guesses where John was.
I don't know what you guys were doing in the seventh grade, but we were getting our political theory on, me and John. So there's a couple mornings when I was a kid, I woke up and watched Rush Limbaugh. I remember the first thing I saw when I woke up and watched Rush Limbaugh was he had a picture of a dog on his desk, like a white dog. I think it was maybe his dog or something like that. And he would compare the dog to Chelsea Clinton. He would say that the dog was Chelsea Clinton. Basically saying that Chelsea Clinton was that.
She was a child at the time.
She's a year older than me. So she at that point was a middle school age kid, 13.
Yeah, just to be clear. Exactly.
Just to be clear. And so that was my first introduction to Rush Limbaugh and his brand of conservative talk, that he was berating a child or that he had done that. Here's the thing though. It's difficult for me to go in on somebody when they pass away. It is. It's just an old South Southern thing. It's a deal. So, Rachel, if you will grant me the latitude, we're going to acknowledge that Rush Limbaugh passed away. I'm going to tell people how we met Rush Limbaugh. But we're going to talk next week fully about what Rush Limbaugh was and who he was. And I don't feel comfortable right now having a full-throated conversation about it, because the reality is, in order to have a full-throated conversation about it, you can't help but be disrespectful. Because Rush Limbaugh was not. If you say no, then it's no. You look like you're ready to go.
Well, no. I guess here's my question. You want to respect the fact that he has passed away, and you don't want to feel like you're talking ill of the dead.
It's just a thing for me. Yeah, like it's a.
What's the difference in acknowledging some of his views and the way he was when he was living? He said it. He did them. It's not like you're saying I'm glad that this happened. That he passed away.
Do you know what the real thing is?
What?
I don't want to get lung cancer, and I swear, like there's some weird Southern part of me. That feels like
Southern Louisiana part.
Southern Louisiana part of me. Yeah, well, you're not from the South. You're from Dallas. Like, there's some weird.
I got family.
There's some weird part of me that feels like spiking the football on dancing on somebody's grave, that there's some sort of enchantment that surrounds that energy that's going to boomerang back and hit me later.
If you celebrated his death, that's one thing. But to talk about what he did, good or bad, bad in this case, while he was living, is not bad, in my thing. To recognize factual things that he said and did, and the things that he said those things, and what it incited, the audience that he grew, kind of had like towards this movement. I don't think that that's bad to recognize.
See, I understand what you're saying, but I think of two people who passed away sort of recently, and I am not in any way comparing these people to Rush Limbaugh, because mm-hmm. these are two of my most favorite people in the entire world. One guy I knew, one guy I didn't. All right, so Nip and Kobe died, We're going to talk a little bit more about Kobe and something later on in the podcast. But Nip and Kobe died, right? And as soon as both guys died, there were people who brought up the things from their past, you know? There were definitely people who the next day after everybody was coping with what happened to Kobe, how terrible that was, people that brought things up and talked about certain things that, mm-hmm. that happened in Kobe's past. Mm-hmm. When Nip passed away, I remember there was a very specific article written or a very specific tweet or something, or maybe it was an article written by someone who I respect a great deal. And I remember I called him and I had a conversation. I was like, do you think that that's right to do right when everyone's in the middle of their grief over it? And the reality is that somebody's sad because Rush Limbaugh died. I don't know those people.
That's why you don't celebrate the death.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I understand what you're saying. So I guess it's just like, during that time, I was trying to say, hey, just let people breathe for a second. Somebody has passed away. Then kind of pick it up. But those things happen with those guys. No one made anything up. I just thought, when somebody passes, it's just a crazy time to do it.
I guess it's like, if I was a kid and I came up to you and I was like, I saw that Rush Limbaugh died. Who was he?
Right. Right.
Most of what you would say is,
nah,
I mean, you
especially
could say,
when it's,
you
look,
could say he had a successful show and he made a lot of money and he, you know, built an audience. That's positive.
That's not what I would say.
But the things that he did to build that empire, you got to talk about. As opposed to a Kobe or Nipsey.
I'm not comparing those guys.
I know,
what I'm saying
I know,
is that
just,
when people brought up things to them from their past, things that had happened.
To me, it was different.
I took it very personally.
To me, that was different because when you define Rush, you can't define his career without talking about all the racist, homophobic, xenophobic, you know, like things that he said, misogynistic. You can't, it wasn't his past. It was up
present.
Until the day
he
passed away. As opposed to Kobe or Nipsey, you're going to bring up an incident or something that happened and it doesn't define their whole thing. I guess, like, you know what I'm saying? This sort of separating.
No, the point that you are making is 1,000,000% valid.
You're just superstitious.
No, it's just an old South superstitious thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just like a thing. You know, like when people, it just feels wrong to, I'm not saying that I'm any better. I'm actually a hypochondriac. I'm scared of it. I'm scared of doing
that. I got
you. You know what I mean? I'm scared of doing that. Not, even if we just talked about what happened, that's one thing. And you're right. It is way different than those other things. This was who this guy was and what he was proud of, right? But it's just hard for me to wake up, read that somebody passed away and go, yeah, that bastard's gone. Even though it shouldn't.
No, I would never do that. But I would never do that.
There are some people, I guess you should feel that way, you know? But I don't know. It's like, you know, once again, it's something my daddy used to say.
I don't believe in celebrating people's death like that. I get you. It's not a ding dong, the witch is dead situation.
I tell you what, it was some people that was like, nah, man, we about to get these jokes off. It was people hit me up like, Van, I feel you. I love you, Van. But here we go. One guy hit me up. I was like, only God and grace. I tweeted, only God and grace are stopping me from saying something terrible.
Yes.
And one dude hit me up like, I'll say it for you, dog. I got all the terrible you need. So go ahead and do your thing. Now, somebody who I can't say terrible things about, Ted Cruz.
Aww.
This whole Ted Cruz fiasco is amazing. All right. In case you guys didn't know, Ted Cruz is a senator there from Texas. I'm sure you know this by now. Texas and much of the country is just completely strangled.
It's bad.
By some of the most severe winter weather in recent memory. You know, Texas looks like a winter wonderland down there. And people in parts of Texas have gone long times without heat and without water. There are literally people freezing to death right now in Texas. People don't have water. People don't have the food that they need. And certain people are working to get them what they need. And other people like Ted Cruz are going to Cancun. Spring break is coming early in the Cruz household. There was a picture of Ted that showed him boarding a flight to go to Cancun. And of course, you guys can see now, if you're watching on the internet, that the reaction to this was swift. It was very swift. And people were like, what the hell are you doing leaving to go on a trip with your family to this temperate climate and have a good time and kick back? And so many of the constituents that you represent are going through something so serious. So Ted Cruz has responded to this. This happened earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done what any brave politician does in this situation. He blamed his own children. he blamed
what his own idiot. I'm so glad I live in California. I don't want this man representing me anymore.
Ted Cruz did what every brave public servant does when they're in the crosshairs of the media. He blamed his kids. He says, it's a statement from Ted Cruz. This has been an infuriating week for Texans. The greatest state and the greatest country in the world has been without power. We have food lines, gas lines, and people sleeping at the neighbors' houses. Our homes are freezing and our lights are out. Like millions of Texans, our family lost heat and power too. With school canceled for the week, our girls asked to take a trip with friends. Wanting to be a good dad, I flew down with them last night and am flying back this afternoon. My staff and I are in constant communication with state and local leaders to get to the bottom of what happened in Texas. We want our power back, our water on, and our homes warm. My team and I will continue using all of our resources to keep Texans informed and safe. Rachel, bullshit or not?
Bullshit. Since we can't talk about Rush, let's talk about old Ted. What a blithering idiot is Ted Cruz. The fact that he thought he could fly a commercial flight and make it to Cancun without being seen. Did you see him? I've never seen him wear glasses.
No, he's doing his thing.
He had glasses. He had the mask on, thinking he wouldn't be seen. And it is now being reported that he has booked a flight back.
No, he's
to
back.
Texas. Yeah. His flight, he wasn't supposed to come back till Saturday.
Yeah, he just landed. Now, there's some talk. And by the way, there's some talk that he was actually scheduled to come back Saturday. First of all, let's just take it on its merit. If the family's going to go down to Cancun and you're not going to go, why on God's green earth would you fly down to Cancun just for a turnaround flight to come back?
We know what this is. We know he had listen, his bag looked like he was staying longer than one night. Okay. Ted was ready to get his tan on, his warmth on. He was ready to have a good old time. And y'all exposed him. And I love you guys for it. Thank you for that. Because if you have family in Texas, if you're living in Texas and you're seeing what's happening right now, you're experiencing it personally, it is scary. I know people who are in closets with their dogs trying to stay warm, too scared to get on the freeway because we don't know how to drive in that. The Texas is not, although it ices in Dallas, it doesn't dip down to Houston. We are not prepared. We put sand on freeways instead of salt. Water pipes can't handle it. Electricity, there are issues right now with ERCOT. ERCOT, however you want to say it, where they're keeping electricity on in some neighborhoods and turning it off in others. It's like a huge deal. It's a big scandal. And the fact that you are supposed to represent this great state that you call it, yet you want to abandon it as soon as trouble happens is awful. You guys, unfortunately, the people who need to be listening to this podcast aren't. But if you know somebody, forward this on and tell a friend. You cannot continue to elect someone who does not give a fuck about you. And he showed that when he bought his plane ticket, not just for him, for his entire family, and escaped. And he left. He showed you exactly how he feels about you. He doesn't care. He does not. I can't get over the fact that he abandoned these people. Like, watch a video, y'all. Read an article and see how people's roofs are caving in. Animals are freezing. People are freezing. They're not even reporting the number of people that are dying. I mean, it is... It's unreal. It's unreal what's happening.
So here's the thing.
Jesus Christ.
So it's actually NBC News now is reporting that Senator Cruz booked the return trip at 6 a.m. Thursday. He was initially booked to return on Saturday. So Ted Cruz was going on vacation. Anything that says that he's not going on vacation, that he wasn't staying a couple of days in Cancun, it's a lie. So that, let's just talk about that. That's just a lie. Okay? So that part of it is politics and his finance, it's a lie. Okay, so if we all know with our intellectual minds that that part of it isn't true, that this wasn't him chaperoning his daughters, what is it?
Mom was there too, though, right?
Who?
His the wife was there.
The wife was there, yeah.
Okay. Chaperoning like his daughters. She's not capable of taking the children. Okay.
4-hour round trip flight or whatever it was. Since we know that that's not true, and we can reasonably conjecture that as isn't true using our human brains, then let's just talk about what this means. Okay. Because it's very important. We laugh and we have a lot of fun, but it's very important to understand what something like that means. That means that there is an emotional, there's a tangible emotional, and even I would say a political disconnect between Ted Cruz and his constituents. Now, I think that if you are willing to leave the state and go on vacation with your family while people are freezing to death, I think it's very hard to make the argument that you care about those people. Okay? Now, politicians make all types of mistakes on both sides of the aisle. Politicians make all types of mistakes, right? Some of them make mistakes out of greed. Some of them do things that they think in the moment are going to benefit people, right? But on both sides of it, what you would want to believe, what you would hope to believe, is that they're at least in it with you. I know that that's right. a little bit pie in the sky. But you want to think that at least they're in it with you. At least they give a damn in some way. The people of Texas are going to have a decision to make in the future about Ted Cruz. And it's going to be very difficult for me to tell them or to even suggest to them that he gives a damn about them. Because if he gave a damn, even the optics of that situation would stop him from going to Cancun. Mm-hmm. Just how it looks. Think about that. Think about just how it looks. I had an uncle that used to say something that was very inappropriate, but I'm going to repeat it. He would say to me, he would be like, I know you think I'm a liar because I would see him messing around with other women, right? And he would be like, but I lie because I love your aunt. He goes, imagine how things would be if she came home and it was just a woman up in the house and I didn't even care that she saw it. And he was like, I'm doing wrong, but I'm hiding it from her because I don't want to hurt her. Now,
imagine reality, if you just didn't step out.
Exactly.
Unk. Oh. Imagine.
All right, I get him on here. He'll talk to you. He got a whole theory about that. But what I'm saying is, it's comical that Ted Cruz won't even lie to the people that he's cheating on. It's comical that, I mean, he's lying in, I guess, it's a reactionary lie, but it's comical that there was nobody that said, hey, Ted, a beach vacation right now is not going to look good. You can't get on a commercial flight and sneak away to the Yucatan Peninsula and think that nobody's going to find out about it.
I'm sure they did say that.
I don't know. I don't think anybody did. Because how could something like that happen? This is legitimately...
You do what you want to do. He was probably like, whatever, I'm going to go. I want to.
It's egregious, though. And look, there are people that... I don't know if we retain Benny, if Benny is still listening right now. If Benny is still listening right now, Ben Shapiro or anybody else who is conservative... This doesn't have a damn thing to do with left or right. And to me, this is a dereliction of duty. This doesn't have anything to do with whether or not right now Mario Cuomo's up there in New York in a shit ton of trouble. And when we have answers to whether or not Mario Cuomo is guilty or culpable in and around the things they say that he did, I will skewer his ass right here on this podcast. But it's not his time. It is Ted Cruz's. There's no way that you can be the party of the working man and go on vacation as the working man and woman freeze to death in your state. It's amazing to me.
Well, this is also a man who, and then like, we're not even talking about the fact that he blamed it on his poor children. Are they girls? Ted Cruz really, I mean, you're blaming it on your children. I feel sorry for them because we've also seen how he handles his wife, right? This is the same man who supported a man in so hard, went so hard for a man who not only talks so badly about him, but his wife. Trump dogged your wife. This is the type of man that we're dealing with, right? So I say this to say you hope to expect more from him, but what can you really expect from a man who lets another man totally and publicly disrespect his wife and him and just keeps it moving like it was nothing?
Okay, so I want everybody to do something right now for me. Let's listen to the podcast. Everybody's listening to the podcast, do something for me. Okay. Bring up a picture of Ted Cruz on your phone, your smartphone device, or something like that. Bring up a picture of Ted Cruz. Just bring up the picture. Now look at the picture. Okay. You see the picture? Everyone sees Ted Cruz?
I see it.
See the picture. Tell me right now that Ted Cruz doesn't look like a fart in human form. He looks like a fart. I call him Fart Boy.
Was this pre-beard or after the beard?
Pre-beard, definitely even more. He looks like a fart. He has fart-like tendencies. I remember watching the Republicans when they were doing their thing after Trump decapitated all of them in the primaries and thinking, wow, that guy, he looks farty.
Span.
He does. He looks like a fart. And that's why he was trying to blow his ass down to Cancun. He didn't think anybody would smell him, but they did.
Almost like he doesn't have common sense, right?
I don't know what it is.
Princeton, Harvard educated, but when it comes to the basics, he just doesn't get it. It's like he just doesn't have that common sense smarts. Because otherwise, he wouldn't be doing reckless behavior like this.
He just doesn't care. What does Dan Crenshaw think about this? American hero Dan Crenshaw. What do you think? All right, enough of Fart Boy. Let's take a break. Yo, shout out Baton Rouge, man. Boosie.
No. Wait, so today is the day. Okay, so we had a day of airing out grievances. Today just seems to be the day of recognizing people who make our home states look like shit.
Are you saying that Boosie makes Louisiana?
Carried away with Boosie. Come on.
Are you saying that Boosie makes Louisiana look like shit?
I'll let you introduce
Can I get to the topic before you get at Boosie like that?
Sure. Go ahead. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Yeah. She right.
Perfect song to introduce the topic.
Boosie did an interview with Vlad TV. And Vlad, being an expert at what he does, asked Bootsy about the relationship between Michael B. Jordan and Lori Harvey.
Like, why?
You want to get Bootsy? Look, I'll tell you what. When I have a thought about relationship dynamics, the first thing I think is, you know, what's Bootsy think about that?
Well, that's bad news for you.
So, Bootsy seems to think that...
It's not funny.
We're focusing too much on Lori Harvey. He's like, he wants the Bachelors to get all the credit. And that Lori Harvey's body count basically makes her unwifeable, I guess. Basically, what he's saying is that he feels like Michael B. Jordan is a simp for having settled down with Lori Harvey. Because according to Boosie, I guess Lori Harvey has been ran through, his words, not mine, too many times. The reaction was swift. I keep saying the reaction was swift. It always is. The reaction these days is always swift. They got on Boosie's ass about this. Do you think that this is, I mean, what do you think, Rachel? Like, Boosie says that he thinks that Lori has been a little bit too out there to be wifed, and people got mad at him.
First of all, I love that Lori Harvey has these people so hard pressed. For some reason, people stay want to talk about Lori Harvey, and good for her. The woman doesn't say much, but for some reason, she's got people so bothered. And I love it. I love that for her. I just want to say something real quick. 8 children with 6 different women. Wait, hold on. Respects women who stay with an unfaithful partner. Made transphobic comments to Zaya Wade, or about Zaya Wade. Is it Zaya or Zaya? Zaya Wade. Felt pornography was better for kids to watch than cartoons with men kissing. Spoke positively of paying an adult woman to perform oral sex on his underage son and nephew. Bragged that he had secured his son fellatio from a, quote, bad bitch for his underage son. What do all these comments have in common?
Barack Obama said them.
Boosie badass. And I say all that to say, you guys, why do we give this man a mic? Why do we give this, unless he's going to put, mouse on the track or something. I don't want to hear Boosie's opinion about anything. He has absolutely no credibility. He has no respect, no regard. It's almost like he has a hate when it comes for women. There's a double standard.
You think Boosie hates women?
Yes. The way he talks about women, the lack of respect that he has for women, the double standard. It's okay for men to do all of these things. But for a woman, the only type of woman you respect is a woman who stays with her unfaithful partner. Shout out to Unk.
Well, by the way, 2 people that have something in common. This is some Baton Rouge logic that you're hearing. But not everybody from Baton Rouge. But this is some, and to be honest with you, here's the thing about that. If we're being real, there's a bigger cultural question that we have to ask here. Because even in what we're talking about, for a lot of people, and this is why you have to meet comments like this head on. Because this is how people were raised. This is what's been drilled into them over and over.
But I can't excuse a grown man.
I'm not excusing it.
I know you're not.
But even just like Boosie, when I was 16, my dad told me, I think I've told you this before.
Yeah.
When I was 16, my dad told me, when I was 15, he told me, if you get to 16 and you're a virgin, you're not a Lathan man. So think about that. You know, after that, like I said before, after that, every woman is not like a person. She's not like an individual. She's a tool for me to go access my manhood.
Right.
And you only treat a tool as well as you have to. If you're a good craftsman, you keep your tools shiny and new, right? But okay. They're still tools. So I'm saying, what I'm saying is that, and so for me, I had to unlearn that. And thankfully, correct. I was able to, right?
Correct. I get you adding context to it, right? But you're also giving me an example of when you were 15. A boost is what, 38? 39?
38, about to be 39
okay,
38. A little bit. Yeah.
38. He's been criticized at great lengths for these comments that he's made. He's fully aware of the right thing to say, to do, what all this means. Yes, he is. He doesn't care.
Is he fully aware of the right?
Yes.
You're telling me right now.
I think he even doubled down on it.
That Boosie is fully aware of the right thing to say. He knows what the right thing to say.
Yes, he doesn't care.
I don't think he knows what the right thing to say is.
Please, Boosie, if you're listening, who hurt you? Who hurt you?
Wait a minute. But here's the thing. And this is not to give Boosie a pass for any of this stuff. But it is to say that it's kind of crazy sometimes to say that somebody knows what the right thing to say is. I don't think that a lot of people know what the right thing is. They think they're right, which is
If people are criticizing you and you double down on what it is that people are saying, then his last post, quote, fuck that. I said what I said.
Well, yeah.
Boosie is fully aware of what he's saying, of how people feel about it, and the other side of the argument. Yet he said, F that. I said what I said. He doesn't want to be better. He doesn't want to do better. He is perfectly fine believing the things that he does and staying on that path and teaching that to his son and nephew, as I just pointed out, those things that he glorifies. He has a total disrespect for women. You can add all the context you want. I'm not arguing against it. I get that some people are taught that. But at 38, you are aware of the other side of it.
Fair enough.
You know, he has daughters.
He
does.
I'm
saying, you got daughters. Is this how it's like? This the message that you want to send to your daughters, or is it different? So, see what I'm saying? It's awful.
So this
and
is
I
what
love
I will
the
say.
Music, but I this can't. What, I know I can't you get behind this.
This is what I'll say. First of all, Mike and Lori are a beautiful,
yes,
and
they are
stunning, amazing couple. Mike had the classiest response to this.
He finally what did. He say?
He went on Instagram. He said he loves her. Dedicated his love. This is after Mike has... He went all out. By the way, Mike, I appreciate you making us all look bad. Valentine's Day. He bought out a whole aquarium. A whole aquarium. Do you know how many niggas went out and bought fish tanks after that? Do you know how many guys were like, baby, I can't give you a whole aquarium, but these goldfish, their names Trudy and Jackson.
And these goldfish mean I
love you. You know what I'm
it's
saying? You know how many guys went out
want it.
And bought stuff like that? Mike made us all look bad. But I'll tell you this. Two things here. Number one
is Trudy and Jackson,
the two goldfish. number one, the reason why you can never excuse comments like this is because it's not even about trying to reclaim Boosie. The reality is Boosie is who he is. You know, Boosie survived some things, and the fact that he's still breathing reinforces to him every day that he did it the right way. So there are two things. Number one, we have to make sure that people don't grow up in those environments, right? We have to make sure that people aren't grasping and holding on to their masculinity as a way to survive something or some bullshit code or some bullshit way of treating other people as a way to mask how they feel about themselves, how they feel about their surroundings, how they feel about their environment, that they're not pouring into themselves things that are toxic, right? And then vomiting mm-hmm. them back out on people who are unsuspecting. We have to make sure that we do that. So part of this is a cultural edict, and part of this is a very specific individual one, right? And so that's why you meet the comments like this head on. This is not, obviously... me and Boosie go back a ways. This is not me excusing him at all. This is not me. Everything that he said about Lori was disgusting. It's wrong. And it victimizes not only her, but a generation of women that are here now and that will follow, that want to just be able to live their lives in whatever way they want. Forget about whatever you... Nobody's being hurt. Nobody's doing anything. And you don't even know if half the things you think are true are actually true. You don't know nothing. It's an ignorant statement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerless one. And it's one that to me is just born out of like whatever it is you think you know, which is not much on this. You don't know their relationship. You don't know her life. You don't know none of this. Part of this also comes from the fact that Boosie is continuously put in a situation where he is opining on things, giving his opinion. And he has a great big microphone to do that. Part of that is Vlad. Now, there's nothing wrong with Vlad having conversations with Boosie. But this is what happens when these questions are asked. There's a reason. Let me finish this. You keep asking me to have my dad on this podcast.
Absolutely.
That'll never happen. Never. Do you know why? Don't play with that man. Do you know why? You know why I'll never platform my father on this podcast?
Why?
Because I know what he might say.
Okay.
Me and my dad have a very specific relationship. My dad to me is a hero of mine. He's a protector. He's all of these things, but he's a lot of other shit too. Love him to death from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. But he's from Maryland, Louisiana, population 2,500. He was born in 1955. There's a very specific experience that he has. And so for me, part of me not offending the viewers and the listeners of this podcast is making sure that I don't put them in a position to be offended. And putting him on this podcast.
That's real.
Without cutting a bunch of shit on and doing all of that stuff like that. That's not for him. His thoughts and the way he looks in the world, those are inside thoughts. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that there's anything like that, but you know, look, and by the way, this is the best thing that could have happened for Vlad. This is the best thing. Look, Vlad is out there doing his thing, millions of views, all
of
that.
And that's why he did it. He did it because he knew. So I get it. I respect that. Like, you're not going to question your dad for ratings, right? For downloads, for subscribers. Vlad did it, and he asked this question because it's like, why are you even asking about Lori and Mike? Because he knew Boosie would say something out the side of his neck.
Vlad to be interviewed. He also likes talking to Boosie. That's his man. So it's a whole thing. But this is kind of what you. This is what you get at a certain point. What we have to do is shoot it down, talk about it, tell everyone, and talk to Boosie about it. Like we're telling you right now, Boosie, this is Van. Y'all fucked up, homie. You're wrong. That was fucked up. Can't do that. Stop, please. You're making the whole city look bad, dog. Chill. Yeah. Please. Love you to death.
Just add it to
love your
list.
Brother. But relax. For real.
So he's not coming on this podcast. Unless it's
Boosie?
For a performance.
You don't want Boosie on the podcast?
To give him a platform to say some crazy shit? No.
I'm asking.
I told you. I would love to have him in a certain capacity.
Right. Just the music.
A performance.
Just the music. All right. All right. Let's take a break real quick. More rap news. This one's interesting. We told you we'd get back to you, Kobe Bryant, in this podcast again. Meek Mill is in some trouble right now. Meek Mill has a song coming out with Lil Baby, and a part of the song leaked. He says, and if I ever lack, I'm going out with my chopper, it'll be another Kobe. Of course, you guys know that Kobe Bryant died around this time last year, a little bit earlier than this last year, in a horrific helicopter accident with his daughter. So the double entendre is going out with my chopper. For you guys who don't know, a chopper, in this case, is AK-47. And in the case of obviously Kobe and Gigi, it was a helicopter. So Meek is saying in that line that he will go out with his chopper, go down shooting, as did Kobe go out. Kobe went out in the chopper, the helicopter crash. This leaked yesterday, the fact that this line is in that song. And Meek trended all night long last night, and he trended all day basically today. Before we even get into this, I talked to somebody with direct knowledge of this situation. When I say direct knowledge, I mean direct knowledge of this situation. As direct as it can get. This version of the song was never meant to come out. This is not the version of the song that was coming out. They told me that the process by which Meek records is that he goes into the booth and he freestyles, right? And he freestyles, he relays it to somebody. So there's a lot of stuff recorded. That line got thrown out there. Some people heard it and they were like, nah, we can't do that. He was like, nah, we're not going to do that. That's not what we're going to do. But the files remain. Also, he says the only reason why stuff like that would be flying in his mind is because where he's from, they say stuff like that. They'll be like, yo, you know, I'll go out with my hood like Nip did or something like that. They don't mean it as disrespect. It's like not a disrespectful thing. He wasn't seeing it as disrespect. It was just about the line for him. And that there are people that that feel like this has really nothing to do with the line itself, that this has more to do with somebody trying to get Meek out of the paint, and that's why this came out. But according to who I spoke to, this version of the song was supposed to be unreleased, and it was never to come out. The release version, somebody, they had caught it, they had discussed it, it wasn't going to come out. Now, does this change anything that you were thinking about the situation?
Yeah, I have a question. So was the song not supposed to come out because he said that line and he was like, no, forget it, that's not it? Or just because he didn't like the whole version of the song?
No. The song still will be dropping, but not that version, that verse
but
won't.
Why was that? Is that version not the song that's coming out? Is it because specific to that line?
Yeah, no. Because he re-recorded his verse because that line is not in his verse. because people were like, that's not, you can't, like, they all listened to it and they're like, nah, you can't do that. Like, that sounds bad.
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. If somebody, it's hard for me to say what was in somebody else's thought process. If the person that has direct knowledge of this is saying that once they Meek freestyled it, because that's the way he records things, and once he heard himself say it, they were like, no, then that can't be the case. Then I guess I have no choice to believe him. But I mean, I guess that I'll give him. So I guess it changes my mind, and I don't want to necessarily speak on the same way it was. The argument that that's just what you say from where you're from, to me, still doesn't make it right if the rest of the country or the rest of the world doesn't see things that way. Because what was so disrespectful about it is, like, it's not just Kobe, it's his family that he lost on it and that is affected by it. Right. It's the other 8 victims that are involved in their families. It's also softening something that was so tragic that we all can remember it like it was yesterday. And then I just feel like, just to reduce Kobe to a lyric in your song like that in this way is just the utmost disrespect. Not saying you can't rap about Kobe, but rap about Kobe and his death in this way. I'm not sure what the end goal was here, but I just feel like you didn't think this one out. It just sounds like I will give it to him. I'm not gonna, if that's somebody who has direct knowledge to it, if that's what they're saying happened, then fine. But my initial reaction is, to me, there is no excuse. Initially, that's how I felt. There is no excuse for you to say these type of things. You're a lyricist. You're a rapper. You're not new to the game. You've done this before. And that, to me, that's where your mind goes. And then the song has, in parentheses, RIP Kobe. So it seems like you're making references to Kobe in this song. And this is the reference that you made about his death, making light of it. It was bad. It's bad. And the thing is, I get what you're saying, but Meek has tweeted some things subsequently to the backlash. Not that he's addressing it directly.
I didn't see what he tweeted. What
did
he say?
But it is alluding. Hold on. I'll tell you. It's alluding to, he said, somebody's promo a narrative and y'all follow it. Y'all internet antics can't stop me. Shit like zombies land or something. That is a reference to the song. So to me, I hear what you're saying.
But oh, by the way, I'm not saying anything. To me, the line is completely disrespectful.
But the line is completely disrespectful to it.
Right.
But to me, it sounds like he's kind of like, that's what y'all are paying attention to. You know, like as almost
like
as if
belittling people's concern over it. Yeah.
You don't, like, for me, if that really wasn't my intent, then that's what I would be saying. Like, if I'm a fan of Kobe, if I looked up to Kobe, and people are misconstruing what I said about somebody that I respect, then I would be out there saying, like, no, that's not quite like what it is. But to hear it seems like he's like you said, belittling it, making light of it, almost like very flippant about the whole thing when so many people are upset and hurt about this lyric.
Yeah, look,
and it's not even for us, it's the families.
Right. Once again, I guess my thing, which I talked to a lot of people about, was the fact that Kobe has a teenage daughter. And Kobe's family got drugged through this today. So here's the thing. If in fact somebody leaked this to hurt Meek, right? What was said in the line of that song is inexcusable. I think there are cultural rules about that, you know? Now, if it was said, then it was never meant to come out, then that changes things, in my opinion, right? It changes things a little bit. Okay, there's a lot of things, you know, you might say or you might do, and you don't want them to come out. Hey, how many times have you been on a podcast before where you've said something and you come back and go, hey, take that out?
Or
how many
would you be defensive, though? Because he sounds defensive.
I wouldn't be defensive. I would only be defensive if people were coming at me and I said, hey, you know, I said that. I realized I went a little too far, and I told people before, in that you can control it. I told people, hey, take that out. Because sometimes if you say something live, then you can't control it. You got to eat that. But if I say something and then I come back and I'm like, yo, take that out, or I didn't mean to say this, or I didn't mean to do that, can you take that out? And then it wasn't my intent to hurt anyone. So me, Van, I love my two favorite words in the English dictionary are I'm sorry. Kalika knock on his door right now before I even open the door. I go, I'm sorry, baby. Because I know. Hey, I'm sorry, my bad. Okay, cool. Like, now we can move forward. All right, so I have no problem apologizing. I've been doing it since I've been speaking. But a lot of people do, right? I guess what I would say is whoever leaked this today or leaked it yesterday to hurt me, you were successful. But you also hurt a lot of other people. No doubt Vanessa had to relive that. No doubt the teenage daughter, Kobe's oldest teenage daughter, had to relive that. So while we're playing these internet games and we're going back and forth like this and we're trying to hit our marks and kill who we're going to kill, just be careful about the collateral damage.
Absolutely.
You spraying up the whole house and other people catching strays.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't excuse anything that was said. It's fucked up. People, once again, what do I do? What do I believe in? I believe in respect for those who are gone. For all kinds of reasons, I believe in respect for those who are gone. So I'm just saying, There's a lot of people who suffer when y'all trying to shoot each other and take each other out. Just be easy. We're going to hit this one real quick. I just want to know what you think about this. So Jodie Foster, you know Jodie Foster? Do you like her work? Wait, stop. Stop. Don't Google nothing. Are you telling me right now that you don't know who Jodie Foster is?
No, I know who Jodie Foster is. Silence of the Lambs. I just don't know the story.
Oh, I was about to say. Look how mad I got. Hold on, let's do this real quick. Trudy Joseph, what's your favorite Jodie Foster movie?
I'm just not really into Jodie Foster. I'm not going to lie. I'm not really into it.
Yeah. Cut it. Jackson?
Guess it's just Van.
Silence of the Lambs, but I'm sort of in the same boat as everyone else.
Jesus Christ. Y'all
What's
just
yours?
Shitting on
Not
Jodie Foster.
Not everybody like consumes movies the way that you do, Van.
Also, Trudy and I were born in like the 90s.
So what?
Hold up. I was born in the 80s. I don't know. I don't know anything about Jodie Foster.
What?
Most of her most popular movies were out when I was like 4 years old.
So what? What that mean though?
You're
what
on
that
an
mean?
Island,
hey, let me ask you a question.
You're getting defensive.
Jackson, you ever seen The Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, exactly. It came out in 1970.
It's one of the most popular movies of all
time.
I've seen Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, what do you mean? Right.
What's your favorite, Ben?
What's my favorite?
Jodie Foster.
Silence of the Lambs is a great movie, but I like a movie called The Accused. It's hard to watch, but it's a really, really good movie. It's like, she's got a lot of good movies.
I also like Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver, she's a little kid in that, right? She's in Maverick with Mel Gibson. She's in a lot of different movies. Nell. You guys ever seen Nell before?
I've heard of it.
Jodie Foster has a lot of good movies.
No, not knocking her. I'm just not familiar with those movies.
Anyway, speaking of Maverick that she's in, which is a movie I actually do love, it's Jodie Foster, Mel Gibson, and James Garner. James Garner, who's not passed away. This is the movie where she met Mel Gibson, and she went on Marc Maron's podcast and had these things to say about Mel Gibson. He's a great actor with a deep, deep person, saying, I think that's probably what's gotten him into so much trouble in the past. The fact that he's so deep. He's not saintly, and he's got a big mouth, and he'll do gross things to your nephew would do. But I knew the minute I met him that I would love him the rest of my life. All right, so just real quick. While we're just remembering Mel Gibson and the depth that he has, Mel Gibson's depth once led him to say that the Jews are responsible for all the world wars in the world. Mel Gibson also told his then girlfriend, Oksana, and I'll never forget this because of all the racist things that I've ever heard, this is amongst the most impressive, what Mel Gibson said to Oksana. He said a lot of things to her, and he was also incredibly physically and verbally abusive towards her. But one thing that he said to her is among the more effective and impressive racist things I've ever heard before. He said to her, because of the way she dressed, he said, if you get raped by a pack of niggers, it'll be your fault. All right. I just want to go through this sentence real quick. Because this is a truly vile wordsmith of racism. If you get raped by a pack of niggers, it'll be your fault. So the interesting thing is Mel Gibson found a way in that statement to make nigger the least offensive word. Who can do that? Normally, if you throw the N-word in there, that's the heavyweight champion of slurs. But when you say pack, I contend that in that statement, the pack is worse than the,
right?
Because pack means, like, we've all heard the N-word, right? But pack means you think of these marauding, animalistic, subhuman demons that run in packs and are looking to do nothing more than rape a white woman. I remember when I heard that, I actually sat back and went, Jesus, like, Mel is talented. That's that level of racism takes talent to say that way. So,
or it's deep rooted. You it didn't pop up. It ain't a one off. It ain't a one off. You've been feeling this way.
Yo, you couldn't be righter. That's his granddaddy's racism. Right. That he. Hey, just let you know. Watch out for a pack of black people. They run in packs. Watch out for them. They scurry around. They come out at night. Packs. Crazy. So, look. She loves Mel Gibson. She says she loves Mel Gibson. She accepts Mel Gibson flaws and all. What do you think?
What do you say about this? I guess my first thought is I'm really glad I'm not familiar with any of Jodie Foster's movies. I don't want to be. I can't be supporting, or you know what I mean, like behind a woman who's going to excuse this type of behavior. I mean, it's literally, she says he's a problematic person, but he's warm and affectionate and he's loving and he's a good friend. He's a good friend to you. He's not a good person though. That's what this comes down to. Is Mel Gibson a good person? And from what you just told me, with other things that he's done, where, you know, he's gotten drunk and had these anti-Semitic rants, I don't even know why you would step out on a limb and put your reputation and neck on a line to defend a demon like this. The things that he is saying it's pure hate. And you want to say, but he's a good person. Remember how you said about your dad, these are things that you say on the inside? Same with Jodie Foster.
So
keep this to yourself.
My dad's not quite Mel Gibson.
No, right? But I'm just saying, you don't say these things out loud is my point. Now, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to put him on the same level. Please forgive me. I don't want your dad coming after me.
He's got some antiquated views and he will say some things that offend some people, but he's not quite that bad.
I just mean what he says is for everybody to hear.
Sure.
That's Jodie needed to keep these. First of all, nobody cares. Nobody cares about your friendship with Mel Gibson. Just keep that to yourself. Keep that within. This is not the hill that you need to die on. Knowing what he's done, what he stands for, what he has done in the past, I don't care if he's a good person or a good friend to you. That's what she said, a good friend. I don't care. I'm shocked.
Is it okay?
She said this.
Question for you. Is it okay to love problematic people? Are we allowed in this day and age to love bad people?
Yes. Do we not have problematic family members?
We all have problematic family members. But forget about family members. That's a given. Forget about that. Forget
about family members. Problematic friends.
Problematic friends. People that are your friends that mean something. You don't have any friends in your life who are problematic.
I guess I'm thinking Mel Gibson level.
No, forget about Mel Gibson level. I mean, he's God's special boy. He depowered.
Sure, I did.
He's the only white man in the history of the world to depower the N-word. He made a word more racist than the N-word and he's white. We did it. But Mel Gibson also succeeded in doing it. So I'm asking, she loves him. She's out front with it and she doesn't care. Is there something wrong with that?
I guess I'm more just like, No, I mean, if that's how you feel, fine. But then don't get upset when the backlash comes from it, because it almost feels like it's one thing that you feel that way. But when you step out and you say it in public, it's almost like you're defending him and the things that he's done in the past.
Right.
We don't need to see this, Jody. I don't need to hear it. I don't need to see it. I don't care that you have a good friendship with Mel Gibson. Keep that to yourself. Keep that private. Why are you announcing this to the world? You know what I mean? Even if somebody had asked me this on a podcast, I would have just been like, you know, Mel and I have a deep history and I'm just going to leave it at that. I know him in a way that most people don't, and just keep it there. But you defended him. That's what she did.
Interesting about Mel Gibson. So Jodie Foster is not his only ally. You know, Robert Downey Jr. is very close to Mel Gibson too. Robert Downey Jr. went through his substance abuse battles. He's trying to make a comeback. There weren't a lot of people who worked with him, but Mel Gibson put him in a movie called The Singing Detective, which helped relaunch his career. He then goes on to do a movie called
Kiss,
Kiss,
Bang, Bang.
Is
anybody black defending him? Is anybody black standing
beside him? Past, they did. In the past, Whoopi Goldberg did. In the past, Whoopi Goldberg defended Mel Gibson. She did.
How long ago?
This was after the original...
After the pack comments?
I don't know if it was after the pack, but after some of the stuff, she definitely did defend him. She defended him on The View. My hat actually just broke.
Are you okay? That's how big your head is. What size hat do you wear?
Seven, seven eighths? Look, my shit just broke. Look at that.
Seven. No, let it fly. Just let it ride.
It's just seven. Weird. Yeah. I wear the biggest size.
I'm going to blame that on Mel Gibson. And then seven, seven eighths.
But I'll tell you something else is that, like, the top of my head.
I'm sorry, you have antennas. I can't.
But look, I will say this. So last year or a couple of years ago, Mel Gibson was nominated for a Best Director Academy Award for a movie called Hacksaw Ridge. This is why. It's not just because of it, but this is the difference between when you talk about privilege. If Ben Shapiro, Ben is still listening. This is the difference of privilege. This is the difference of privilege, man. Is that when somebody who is black runs afoul of greater mainstream society, not only does society cut them off, right? Black or Latinx, but everybody else has to cut them off too, or else they become him.
Yep.
A guy like Mel Gibson, who, and even to a degree, a guy like Michael Richards, right? You would think that after what happened to Michael Richards at the Laugh Factory that he would never work again. That's not true. He did work again.
Did he?
Larry David put him on Curb Your Enthusiasm, right?
Oh, Larry.
And so the reality is that in a lot of ways, these things are just simply different. Simply different. Now, there have been some guys you can point to that you would have thought would have been completely canceled, and they haven't been. Very few people are actually canceled. But the reality is that this is kind of the thing. Mel Gibson, Jodie Foster doesn't care what Mel Gibson has said about black, or that he actually beat Oksana. Or that
because
he
he's
said
good
that
to
about
her. He's good to her.
Her friend. So the question is, to you, last question on this subject, should we be more like that?
Like Jodie?
Yeah. Should we care less? Should we be more like that? Should we be less likely to cut people off because we fuck with them and forget about what everybody else thinks? As a culture, should we be more that way?
It's hard to make that black and white, right? I think it depends on the issue. One, to me, Mel Gibson saying that, that's really all I really need to know about you because of a pack of niggers. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you said it.
Has he come out and
disappointed?
Can't believe Mel said that. Has he come out and apologize? Ever? Did he ever apologize? Did he ever say anything? I don't know. This was 2010.
Yeah, he came out. He blamed it on the alcohol. He did a whole.
Okay, Jamie Foxx. He blamed it on the alcohol.
He did. He blamed it on alcohol. I remember him doing an interview. I think it was with Barbara Walters. Yeah.
He apologized for the anti-Semitic stuff and the alcohol, but I don't know if he ever apologized for the stuff towards black people.
So if that is the case, thank you, Jackson. Goldfish Jackson.
Yeah.
No, I would never stand beside this. I just,
Well, she did.
I guess here's the thing. There's one thing to stand beside someone and say, like, listen, I'm your friend. I'm not going to neglect you while you're down. Like, I'm going to be there for you. But it's a whole nother energy to give to publicly speak out and defend someone. You know what I mean? And put your neck on the line for them, which is what I feel what Jody was doing in this podcast interview or whatever it was. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference to stand beside someone and say, I'm not going to kick you while you're down because I have love for you because, you know, we're bonded in a certain way.
Bachelor recap. It's real quick. I'm not going to go into too much of it here.
Okay.
Good show. Good Bachelor show.
All right. Weird. We like this one.
Weird seeing Chris Harrison.
Okay. Yeah. Just you weird. Think the show should have addressed it?
No.
Okay.
I don't think they should have addressed it because
interesting.
I just think that everybody knows what's going on and I don't think the show really cares. So I think the show has to kind of ride this out to the end.
You don't, it made you feel uncomfortable watching him.
Yeah, but nothing that they said was going to make me feel more comfortable.
Okay. That's fair. It's fair.
And also, this is personal. You know, he disrespected my sister. So, like, this is personal for me. There's nothing they could have done unless they put the emoji over his face, which would have been hilarious.
Yeah, that really would have been funny.
But I have to admit, Matt James is going to have it tough. He's going to have a tough go of it here in the future.
Because?
It's obvious that Rachel Kirkconnell is going to win The Bachelor. Obvious. Obvious that she's going to win The Bachelor. They're going to have a match made in antebellum heaven. It's obvious that she's going to win. The Aloe Black was singing. Look, man, Aloe Black was singing.
So remember I said there was a sing.
Yeah. Aloe Black was singing and Matt just whisked Kirkconnell away to get serenaded. By the way, it's just so crazy. The Bachelor is just cursed. The guy's name is Aloe Black. Aloe Black is singing to them. Black people are singing. Like, I thought Rachel Kirkconnell was going to square dance like it was an antebellum party or something like that. Aloe Black is singing to them. And it's basically women of color in the other room crying.
So bad.
Crying. He was just like, girl, I can smell the old South on you. Let's go listen to this Aloe Black. Which, by the way, look, that's just the way it happened. He didn't know at this point. He didn't know.
But
let me tell you why he's getting the 5 Winnie rating this time.
He's got a 5?
It's 5. This really wasn't as Winnie an episode, if I'm being real.
Okay. Well, so why a 5?
Because he sent Piper home.
Yeah, that was a little shocking.
Like, I can't tell you how upset. This is how I know I'm a batch. I was in there. Bozeman was scared because he sent Piper home and I was like, yo, fuck you. Like, I was mad. Like, I can't believe I thought Piper was, I thought she was great. She seemed like she was going to win. I like Piper. So now
I
she doesn't,
too.
She's, so this is, I and she just didn't make the cut towards the end. He sent Piper home. Very, very, very upsetting. Now, question. 5 Winnie rating. Other than that, kind of like a whatever show. A lot of cloud hanging over the show. 5 Winnie rating. I'll ask you a question real quick. If Matt James picks Rachel Kirkconnell, what do you think the immediate backlash will be?
Well, I think people are already expecting him to pick Rachel, like you said. I don't think there's going to be immediate backlash for the pick. There's going to be immediate backlash of, are they still together?
Interesting.
We shall see. Wow, all right. 5. Okay.
Okay, so here's the deal. 5 winnings. You know what? Let's give him 4. Because it wasn't
a 4.
Give him 4. He's trending better towards these last couple of episodes.
He's 3 out of his 4 women, the women left for hometown are women of color.
Are they going to go to their hometowns?
Normally they would.
But they don't.
But they can't because it's COVID.
Right, COVID.
So the families come to them.
Right, stupid. All right. So we're going to skip mailbag because we're running long here. It was a lot of topics we had to cover.
Yeah.
Do you have an unexpected ally of the week?
I do.
Who's your unexpected ally of the week?
You guys don't judge me too harshly on this, but I'm giving it to Meghan McCain. Remember, we've been down this road before. It is of the week. Meghan McCain, never in my wildest dreams did I think I would say this. I'm a huge fan of The View. Love it. Watch it. Record it every single day. This week, The View covered what's going on in The Bachelor. Whoopi brought it up. She introduced it. And who had my back? Who called for repercussions and that changes need to be made? Who said that it was disrespectful and couldn't believe that they were talking not just to a Black woman and listening to the things that she had to say, but a former bachelorette? It was Meghan McCain. Sonny did as well, but Meghan McCain had my back. Went on a rant of how disappointed and upset she was at the way things were handled, at the actions displayed by Chris Harrison, and the way that he treated me in that interview. So my unexpected ally, never did I think this would happen. But that is the name of the segment. Unexpected keyword. I'm giving it to Meghan McCain.
Wow. Okay. So I had one, but based upon that, my unexpected ally of the week is going to be Ben Shapiro.
Wow. It's been Rachel Lindsay. See you guys on my next week. You are not my co-host. You are not my friend.
Can't believe you brought Meghan McCain to the... No, it's not. My unexpected ally of the week is everyone down there in Texas. This was unexpected just because, we didn't know that this was going to happen. But everybody who is joining arms with the people in their communities who are trying to make sure that people stay warm, that people stay fed, that people stay encouraged during this time. So I didn't know that you guys would need to be allies to not just me, but to the human race and to our country. But you all are, no matter what political affiliation you have, no matter what sex you are, no matter what gender you are, no matter whatever you are. I hope that everyone can figure things out down there. And if I can be of service in any way, I'm sure Rachel feels the same way.
Yes, please check my social media. I've been posting how you can donate, different shelters that you could go to in different areas of Texas, because it's pretty much widespread, which is what's so crazy about it all. So please continue to check. I've tagged also the Instagram page that's continuing to update on different resources for those who are really going through it right now in Texas.
Mm. All right. Tell your thinking caps off, but do not stop learning. I'm Van Lathan.
I'm Rachel Lindsay.
We out.